From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia makes preparation for U17 World Cup. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi says inclusive dialogue as a way to achieve peace in Myanmar. Now the news in detail. Chairperson of the Indonesian Football Association, Erick Thohir, and Minister of Youth and Sports, Dito Aryo Tejo, held a meeting in Jakarta on Friday to discuss the preparations for hosting the 2023 U17 World Cup. Erick Thohir highlighted the importance of closely attending to the administrative process during the meeting. He also said that Minister Aryo Tejo plans to propose a closed meeting with President Joko Widodo in the upcoming week to discuss various aspects, including the budget for the preparations required for the international tournament. Erick Thohir added that the Indonesian Football Association and the Ministry of Youth and Sports will coordinate the budget for the U17 World Cup, which will be quite similar to the budget planned for the cancelled U20 World Cup in Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi affirmed that inclusive dialogue is the only way to bring about peace in Myanmar. She conveyed this in a statement regarding Indonesia's readiness to hold the 56th, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN Ministerial Meetings or Post-Ministerial Conference in Jakarta on Friday. She further explained that Indonesia carried out the principle of the 5-point as the main reference and making decisions by Asian leaders as a basis for action while maintaining the values and principles of the Asian Charter and being ready to bridge differences in a bid to resolve the conflict in Myanmar. She also remarked that the dialogue with all parties is the key in implementing 5-point consensus agreed upon by Asian leaders as an approach to resolving the Myanmar conflict. The consensus consists of constructive dialogue, cessation of violence, mediation between various parties, providing humanitarian assistance, and sending special envoys to Myanmar.
Dialog inklusif merupakan satu-satunya.
The inclusive dialogue is the only way forward if the parties want durable peace in Myanmar. In almost 7 months, Indonesia has carried out very intensive and inclusive engagements. 110 engagements have been carried out both in the form of in-person virtual meetings and through telephone conversations. Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that intensive and inclusive dialogue is important to carry out and is the key to building trust, listening to the position of each party, and trying to build bridges to narrow differences. Besides, the dialogue is also important to encourage the de-escalation of violence and reject the use of violence, encourage inclusive dialogue, and invite all parties to help and support the provision of humanitarian assistance with the principle, no one is left behind. The Indonesian government will prioritize the return of elderly and high-risk pilgrims after they have completed the Hajj pilgrimage. Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Holil Komas, as quoted by Antara on Friday, instructed his officials to give priority to the return of high-risk elderly pilgrims to Indonesia. He also emphasized that due to the climate difference between Saudi Arabia and Indonesia, the elderly and high-risk Hajj pilgrims should not wait too long before returning home. They can return earlier to Indonesia by occupying available seats on earlier flights. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said it is critical for Washington and Beijing to keep working together on climate finance. She urged deeper cooperation in addressing the existential threat of global warming, as reported by CNA on Friday. Yellen is on a 4-day trip to Beijing to cool tensions and stress areas of collaborations between the world's two largest economies. As the world's two largest emitters of greenhouse gases and the largest investors in renewable energy, they are considered to have both a joint responsibility and ability to lead the way. The British government has announced plans to sanction Iranian officials behind what it called hostile activities in the UK. As quoted by BBC.com, British Foreign Secretary James Cleverly conveyed that since January 2022, there had been 15 credible threats by Iran's regime to kill or kidnap Britons or UK-based people. Under existing legislation, the UK can sanction Iranians for human rights violation or nuclear proliferation activities within the Islamic Republic. He has also said the UK will not tolerate this malign behavior. Vietnam recorded a trade surplus of $12.25 billion in the first half of 2023. The domestic market strongly recovered, with retail sales of consumer goods and services increasing by 10.9%. This was stated by a review conference in Hanoi on Friday, as reported by VOVworld.vn. Industrial production recovered 98.8% against last year, in which 48 of 63 localities enjoyed an industrial production index rising. Several major industrial centers, including Ho Chi Minh City, Binh Duong, and Dong Nai, restored their growth momentum. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Oh,
first news comes from Sentani, Papua. The 13th Lake Sentani Festival in Papua was officially opened by the Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, on July the 5th in Kalkota, East Sentani District, Papua Province. The opening of the festival featured many cultural performances, one of which was the Iso Solo Dance. According to the head of Tourism and Creative Economy Service of Jayapura Regency, Papua, Ted Mokai, on Wednesday, there were 250 dancers from 10 villages around the Jayapura area who performed the Iso Solo Dance at the opening of the festival. He explained, the Iso Solo Dance is an act of dancing on a boat which is the hallmark of the Sentani tribe in Jayapura Regency. The dance symbolizes intertribal harmony and the tradition of the Sentani people. The next news comes from Cilegon, Banten. The Banten Ministry of Law and Human Rights officially submitted a letter of recording the creation of the song Bendrong Lesung to the head of the Cilegon City Education and Culture Office. With the recording of the communal intellectual property inventory, according to head of the Ministry Regional Office Tejo Harwanto, the legality of the work of the song is clear. Meanwhile, the head of the Cilegon City Education and Culture Office, Henny Anita Susila, said the song Bendrong Lesung had actually been popular since 1990s as an accompaniment to the Bendrong Lesung dance. The dance symbolizes the enthusiasm of the people in welcoming the harvest season and gratitude to the Almighty for the yields they received. It is hoped Bendrong Lesung can become a song that is like and remains sustainable for all times. The latest news comes from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. In an effort to make South Kalimantan's tourism activities successful, the provincial government of South Kalimantan had promoted the 2023 Loksado Festival from July the 7th until 9th. According to the head of the South Kalimantan Provincial Tourism Office, Syarifuddin, in Banjarmasin on Wednesday, the festival, which was held in the Loksado National Tourism Strategic Area in Hulu Sungai Selatan Regency, has attracted many foreign tourists. The annual festival, held in the National Meratus Mountains Geopark, was conducted by the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy and has become one of the charisma events of the new capital Nusantara. The series of Loksado Festival featured various kinds of performances from arts, culture to culinary specialties of the local community. There were also bamboo rafting, river tubing, and Mahumbai Festival, entertainment nights, as well as micro, small, and medium enterprises and the creative economy bazaars. The location of the Loksado tourist attraction, which is equipped with facilities and infrastructure such as lodging and good road infrastructure, also provides an overview of the life of the Mountain Dayak tribe. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice.
and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
We begin today in history with the event of July 8, 1940, when Kemayoran Airport was opened. Kemayoran Airport is the first international airport in Indonesia. The runway for Kemayoran Airport was built in 1934, and it was officially opened on July 8, 1940. Actually, it started on July 6, 1940, and it was recorded that this airport had started operating. The first aircraft landed plane was DC-3 Dakota, belonging to the Dutch East Indies airline, KNILM. Or Koninklijk Nederlands Indische Luchtvaartmaatschappij, which flew from Cililitan Airport. Kemayoran Airport officially closed on March 31, 1985. That was the last time Kemayoran Airport operated. Let's move to another event in 1976, the first satellite launch in Indonesia. The Indonesia's telecommunications sector recorded history on July 8, 1976, namely the launching of the first satellite, which was named Satellite Palapa A1. From Cape Canaveral, United States of America, Palapa A1 was launched with a Delta 2914 rocket, and it was operated from July 9, 1976 until 1983. After being successfully launched for the first time, satellite Palapa A1 successfully orbited at point GEO83E with the successful launch of the Palapa A1 satellite. Indonesia at that time managed to occupy the third position in the world capable of operating a domestic satellite communication system using the GSO satellite. The name Palapa was chosen by Indonesian second president, Suharto. We end today in history with the event of 2009 about the general elections. On July 8, 2009, there was also an important event in Indonesia, namely the general elections of president. In 2009 elections, there were three candidates, namely Megawati, Prabowo, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, Budiono, and Yusuf Kala Wiranto. As a result, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Budiono managed to get 60.80% of the votes from more than 121 million voters in one round. The General Election Commission at the end of July 25, 2009 announced the official results. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Budiono serve as President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia for the period 2009-2014. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Mm-mm-mm. Flowers in hand, waiting for me. Every word in poetry won't call me by name, only baby. The more that you give, the less that I need. Everyone says I look happy when it feels right. I know that you're wrong for me. Gonna wish we never. You down slow, love you goodbye before you let go. Just one more time, take off your clothes, pretend that it's fine. A little more hurt won't kill you tonight. Mama says you don't look happy. Close your eyes. I know that you're wrong for me. Gonna wish we never.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Minister of Industry and encourages new Indonesia PRC cooperation from Industry 4.0 to Bioprospective. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita held a meeting with Chinese Minister of Industry and Information Technology Jin Zhuanglong in Shenzhen, China on Tuesday. Through this meeting, the Indonesian Minister of Industry wanted cooperation between the two countries to be further enhanced through several potential collaboration in the industrial sector that were offered. Quoting the press release of the Ministry of Industry on July the 6th, Indonesia proposed potential cooperation related to the pharmaceutical industry and the green industry. With regard to pharmaceutical industry cooperation, the Minister of Industry said that drug raw materials had not yet been explored, so they still had to be imported. Indonesia hopes that there will be investment development from the PRC for the medicinal raw materials other than paracetamol. The Minister of Industry explained Indonesia's health system is currently one of the largest in the world, reaching 240 million people with a turnover value of $40 billion. Therefore, deepening the structure of the pharmaceutical industry is very important to do. Another collaboration offered by Indonesia is related to the development of a green industry that prioritizes efficiency, and effectiveness in the use of resources in a sustainable manner. In this case, the Minister of Industry hopes that Indonesia and China can work together to develop green products through a bioprospective industry that processes biological resources, including plants, microorganisms, and animals. The Minister of Industry explained that one of the potential resources for the industry that Indonesia has is seaweed and microalgae, which can be processed into raw materials for bioproducts, such as for bioplastics, biofuels, and fertilizers. He also hopes to be able to discuss together soon and produce a binding agreement between the two countries regarding manufacturing development for Indonesia and China, which includes cooperation that will cover the development of EV or electric vehicle, photovoltaic, talent development, and the bioprospective industry. Meanwhile, the Chinese Minister of Industry and Information Technology offered four new industrial cooperation initiatives, namely the continuation of the ASEAN-China Forum on Emerging Industries and Ministerial Dialogue on Industry, strengthening cooperation in emerging industries, cooperation related to Industry 4.0, and the new energy vehicle, and cooperation related to photovoltaic. In line with efforts to transform industrial technology to strengthen Industry 4.0, the Indonesian Minister of Industry welcomed the proposed cooperation initiatives. He invited the information technology industry in China to increase investment in Indonesia. He also welcomes opportunities to optimize the cooperation that has existed before, including in the field of electric vehicles and new energy vehicles. Indonesia targets to become a global hub for electric vehicle manufacturers in the region. This policy also provides room for collaboration with the government of the People's Republic of China and its private sector. Indonesia's readiness to develop an electric vehicle ecosystem is an important capital for cooperation with China. On the other hand, China is the largest electric vehicles producer with a market share of 1/3 of global production. According to the Minister of Industry Agus Kartasasmita, this collaboration will be able to realize ASEAN's aspirations to become greener and more sustainable. That was my Indonesia Today.
Oh, there you are, sitting still, stripes and lonely, hiding, wishing, waiting. Well, I am, here I am, I'm standing still, stare at you only, everything has bloomed. All I want is just to stay. You can't shake me, I will never dare let go. Through the talking and the walking, I will give you all of my loving. Stop counting on the days, forever I will stay with you, with you and only you. Go far and roam about, come back and calling out to me. Days that come through, all I want is just to stay. You can't shake me, I would never dare. Oh no, let go. Through the talking and the walking, I will give you all of my loving.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder highlights Cungkring Scars Culinary from Bogor. Bogor City has long been known as one of the culinary paradises in West Java. There are lots of types of food in the city, which is known as the Rain City. But fewer people know that Bogor City has one of the culinary delights that is considered scarce because it still exists today, although it has been more than 40 years, and the dish is called cungkring, which has a chewy texture and the taste tends to be savory. Listener, this processed food made from cow's feet has a taste that is ready to spoil the tongue. Cungkring itself is actually taken from the word cung, which comes from cungur, which means mouth, and kring, which comes from food garan. Cungkring culinary, whose name sounds unique, and is one of Bogor's special foods as well as snacks, is actually made from cow's feet and not gravel. Besides, it is not skewered like satay, but now it is made from boiled cow hide. Then it is cut into small pieces and skewered like satay. In the serving, this cungkring is added with rembus, which is then sprinkled with peanut sauce and soy sauce, and what you cannot miss is the sprinkling of fried onions, which makes the serving even more tempting. To further add to the sensation, sometimes it is added with peanut brittle or fried tempeh. Listener, the uniqueness of this cungkring is the wrapper use. Usually, the legendary culinary will be placed into a container made of cone-shaped banana leaves called pincuk. To eat it, you don't use a spoon like other culinary delights, but use a bamboo skewer, which adds to the traditional impressions of this typical Sundanese food. Listener, if you are a lover of culinary and want to go on a culinary tour to Bogor, first of all, you have to go to Jalan Surya Kencana. Along this road, you will find various culinary delights, but you can find cungkring, which is a breakfast dish from 6 a.m. until around 10 a.m. For one portion of cungkring with complete fillings, you usually have to pay around 18,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye!
Remember when I told you no matter where I go, I'll never leave your side, you will never be alone. Even when we go through changes, even when we're old, remember that I told you I'll find my way back home. From the start, you just say the word and I go. No, it doesn't matter how far, 'cause your love is all that I know. Baby, you just stay where you are, and you know I won't be too long. Hold on, hold on. Remember when I told you no matter where I go, I'll never leave your side, you will never be alone. Even when we go through change, remember that I told you I'll find my way back home. 조용히 잠든 밤을 열어 기억을 걷어들어 웃어준 시간이어서 선명히 너는 떠올라 길 잃은 속에 널 가둔 실사람 그만 그만 멈춘 시간 속 잠든 너를 찾아가 아무리 막아도 결국 너의 곁인 걸 길고 긴 여행을 걸렸네 이젠 돌아가 너라는 집으로 지금 다시 way back home 세상을 뒤집어 찾으려 해 오직 너로 완결된 이야기를 No, I won't never lose As long as you're there
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOA listener, a junior ballet group from the Netherlands, the Junior Company, is touring Indonesia. In a performance entitled Ballet Bubbles, 15 talented young ballet dancers from around the world who are members of the Junior Company will perform 5 different types of ballet dances. The art director of Ballet Bubbles, Ernst Meissner, said the dances to be performed will be varied, from the very classic to the most modern ones, and will also feature the work of talented young choreographers.
Zij gaan hier dansen 5 verschillende balletten.
They will present 5 different ballet dances, from the very classical to the most modern ones. Classical ballet, from the Sleeping Beauty and the long dance past the quarter. But we also have choreographers who have created special works for these young talents. There are Cedric Verwoerd and Wupje Kindersma, who often work with us. There is also a young choreographer from the Netherlands, Joshua Juncker, who is currently a member of the Royal Ballet London. Apart from performing dances, these talented young dancers also conduct workshops with local dancers in the cities they visit. Besides sharing knowledge, they also exchange culture through this event, which according to Ernst made this tour so special.
Het is mooi om terug te zijn, om het land weer te zien.
It's nice to be back to see this country again and meet the dancers here. This afternoon, we held a workshop with dancers from here. They taught us traditional dance from here. We also danced together during the workshop. That's what the tour is all about, especially getting to know and collaborating with one another. So that's very special. Ernst Meissner also hopes that young Indonesian talents can join the Junior Company because, according to him, Indonesia has many talented young ballet dancers.
Vorige keer toen we hier waren, 3 jaar geleden, toen deden er een aantal Indonesische.
The last time we came here, 3 years ago, a number of young Indonesian talents joined us in the workshop. So we know there is classical ballet talent here. It would be great if anyone joined us one day. Ernst Meissner hopes that people will be interested in coming and attending their performances. Meanwhile, director of Erasmus Hus Jakarta, Yolanda Melsert, sees the interest of the Indonesian people towards the ballet performance is huge, and she hopes that the performance will give good memories to the audience.
Nou ja, er komen 1000 mensen morgen, dus dat is de kaarten waren.
I hope lots of people will come tomorrow. The tickets were sold out in one day, so everyone has really high expectations. Of course, it's not every day that there are ballet performances in Jakarta and Indonesia, so I hope it will be a great success. I think people will love to spend an evening in this beautiful theater because it is really a very beautiful theater. The Ballet Bubbles performance was held at Graha Bakti Budaya Taman Ismail Marzuki Art Cultural Center, Jakarta on June 23, 2023 and will be held again at Padma Negara Conservatory Auditorium at SMK Negeri 8 Surakarta Vocational School in Central Java from June 28 to the 29, 2023. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Percaya. kau pergi dengan janjimu yang telah kau ingkari. Oh Tuhan, tolong aku hapuskan rasa cintaku. Aku pun ingin bahagia walau tak bersama dia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a Keroncong song entitled Setengah Hati by Keroncong Nation. The song, which was released in 2004, was composed by Krishna and popularized by Ada Band. The song Setengah Hati, which means half-hearted, tells about someone who is unrequited in her love for someone because the person she loves doesn't love her with all his heart. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Nation with the song Setengah Hati.
Mestinya telah ku sadar.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.